Many people simply cannot believe that there can be a large, leisurely center to life where God can be pondered, wrote the late Dr. Eugene Peterson back in 1994. They doubt they can enter realms of spirit where wonder and adoration have a place to develop, and where play and delight have time to flourish. Is all this possible in our fast-paced lives? Close quote. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. That 1994 article by Eugene Peterson was ironically titled, The Good-for-Nothing Sabbath. It had a profound influence on the way I thought not only about Sunday, but about leisure and about rest in general. It also served as one of the first critiques I read of the modern American concept of time that sees each Sunday and holiday as nothing more than a day off in the service of going back to work. Dr. Kent Lisnowski here at Wyoming Catholic College has spent a good deal of time this past year considering and writing about Sunday, and his concerns have only been amplified by the enforced fast from Sunday Mass and the sacrament due to COVID-19. We may have formed or enhanced some bad habits. I began by asking Dr. Lisnowski how he became interested in the whole question of the Lord's Day.
Well, actually, it was back when I was an undergraduate at the University of Pennsylvania. We were involved in the Newman Center there, a Catholic group, and actually didn't see much of a difference for the Catholics on Sunday as any other day. But I had a number of Protestant friends who were in Bible studies that I was involved with and other forms of worship that I was doing along with my Catholic spiritual life. And they had been challenging me on the question of the Sabbath and the Lord's Day and what to do with it. And so really it was from my Protestant friends that got me interested in thinking about and applying this question to my own life back when I was a student. And so my then fiance and I decided to just give it a try and started thinking about, well, maybe we'll at least give the first half of our day to God and we'll do a Bible study together and some other things on Sunday in the place of our standard crush of homework. And that's where it all started for me.
Uh-huh. Now, we talk about Sunday or the Lord's Day and about the Sabbath, which of course is Saturday from an Old Testament and from a Jewish point of view. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? And if so, how and why?
Yeah, I would say kind of yes and no to that. If you look at the early church and the earliest writers within Christianity when it comes to the question of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, there was an initial pushback against considering Sunday to be a Christian Sabbath. And the reason for this was that the early Christians, among them St. Ignatius of Antioch, criticized the Jews as making the Sabbath simply about being idle. And so the Christians said, no, the Lord's Day, honoring the Lord's Day isn't about being idle. It's about living into the resurrection. It's about doing something new, recovering the life that was lost, the contemplation of God that was lost by the fall. Recovering that, doing something, joining together for the Eucharist. That's what the day is about, welcoming the Lord again into our hearts. And it's not about simply being idle. So that was the sort of push from early Christianity to say, no, we're not just doing the Sabbath on Sunday. So I would say, in a certain way, yeah, the answer is no, it's not really just Christian Sabbath.
It's been understood in some ways in that way. You know, it's like you've got all these things you don't do on Sunday because it's the Sabbath.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the early Christian critique of the Jewish practice is either short-sighted or just a little simplistic. Because I think if you look at, you know, thoughtful Jewish writers on the Sabbath, for them it's not simply don't push elevator buttons, don't turn on lights, don't cook meals, right? It's something much richer than that. It's really for the thoughtful Jews, and keeping in mind Jesus himself and many of the early Christians were Jews, so Jesus didn't simply make up all this stuff about what the Lord's Day really means. He's drawing it from his tradition and renewing it. So what thoughtful and pious Jews, I think, were really after is getting to that seventh day of Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1:27, right? Getting to that day of being with God and allowing themselves to rest in his goodness and in the goodness of the world he's provided. You have 6 days that you have worked, right? And on the seventh you rest. And God tried to teach this to the Jews over and over through the Bible. If you look at Exodus, right? That they would gather the manna for 6 days, but on the sixth day he gave them twice as much. So they wouldn't need to do anything on the seventh day. So I think, yeah, there's something where I think we can apply the Jewish notion of Sabbath if we get the richness of it, right? But not if we have a sort of thin account. Mm-hmm.
Now, in your reflections about Sunday, you begin with meditating on the transfiguration of our Lord from Matthew 17 and from Luke 9. That is not where I would have started. What does the story of the transfiguration tell us about Sunday and about leisure?
Yeah, I start there because I want to get past the way people typically enter this conversation. And there's a kind of stale way of thinking about the Sabbath. And I thought, well, where do we see what I think and the Christian tradition thinks the Sabbath is really after? Where do we see that in the gospel? And I think for me, the transfiguration is one of those moments where the Sabbath rest peeks through into the life of the disciples and into the life of the Christian who reads it. What do we learn from the transfiguration? I think the first thing that strikes me is just the utter gratuity of that moment, right? The gift of that moment. You've got Peter, James, and John, right? They're hiking up the mountain with Jesus. They're not sure what they're getting into. Maybe this is going to be another all-night prayer session, right? Where they're going to have to try and stay awake. And boom, they get to the top and all of a sudden they see it. They see who this guy really is. And they see it in a way they never have before and might never again, though they do, praise God, and we are all invited to as well. But they have this gift that they receive and their response to it is exactly our response. We should be like Peter. Lord, let us build this house for you. Let us build a tabernacle for you. A lot of people lambast Peter for that, like, oh, he doesn't know what's going on. But what a beautiful moment, what a beautiful response to being in the presence of God, to the gift of seeing who God is and seeing who you are in his presence, and then responding to that with a desire to stay, to abide, to remain.
And that's an understanding of leisure. How is Sunday crucial to our getting to leisure?
Yeah, Sunday is irreplaceable with getting to leisure. And I would just for a moment here go back to Pieper, Joseph Pieper on leisure. And he says, there's two things you need to have leisure. And one is the ability to receive a gift. And the other is the ability to celebrate a feast. And so Sunday is both of those things, right? The chief center of the Lord's day is, of course, liturgical worship and the Lord's Eucharist, right? And that is nothing else except the greatest gift that we can once again receive, the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, right? Our presence with the choirs of angels saying, holy, 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 right? What a gift that we can receive that. So that's the first piece, right? Second is celebrating. Right? If we can recover Sunday as a kind of mini Easter every week, then we can truly, I think, do what Pieper says we need to do is be able to celebrate a feast. And celebrating a feast doesn't mean having a party. It means realizing a gift and taking joy in a gift and sharing that joy with the people around you. If we see properly that we can make each week like a kind of liturgical year, you know, where we're preparing the way we prepare through Lent for Easter that gets us excited for that Easter Sunday. If we can see each week a little bit like that, I think we can make Sunday more into something of receiving the gift and being able to celebrate.
Now, you mentioned two great impediments to leisure and to finding rest on Sunday. The first is subtraction. What do you mean by subtraction?
To think of Sunday as a subtraction story, right? Meaning that, well, I know I'm getting Sunday, the Lord's Day, right if I don't do X, Y, and Z, right? If I subtract X, Y, and Z from my life, now I know I'm getting the Lord's Day correct. And what's the things that we subtract? Well, whatever I usually get paid for, right? And so I won't even say work, because a lot of people say, as long as I'm not being paid for it, as long as I really want to do it, right, then it's somehow good for the Lord's Day, right? So this idea of all that we need to do to follow the third commandment, honor the Lord's Day, keep it holy, is just not do X, Y, and Z. And I think that, if we take the subtraction story, we end up falling back into the problem that the early church criticized the Jews for.
Well, that Jesus criticized the Jews for.
Sure, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of simply, you know, don't play golf, don't cook, don't...
Yeah, it's not simply don't turn on the lights or don't do anything that's exerting yourself, whether mentally or physically. It's mm-hmm. not simply what it's about. I would say that is a big part of it, but it's certainly not the only thing.
Now, the other impediment you mentioned is the weekend, which ends up enveloping and devouring Sunday.
Right. And so this, I think, because we're so used to thinking about the Lord's Day as a subtraction story, we have put ourselves historically in a position for the weekend to consume it, to eat it up and to make it its own. And what do I mean by that? I mean, so, okay, so many people don't do their work on Sundays. So what are they going to do? Right? Well, they're going to fill that day with other things offered to them by the wider consumer culture. Things that are fun, enjoyable, and are largely consumer activities. Right? Maybe I'm going to go out to eat. Maybe I'm going to, buy something from Ace and fix my house or whatever. I'm going to do something. A lot of those things are going to be consumer activities. They're certainly not wrong in themselves, but they're... So the what I do is subsumed by the logic of the market. So if I'm not making money, the only other thing I could be doing is spending it, right? And that's where I find my leisure, is in some kind of consumer activity. So I think that that's one way the weekend has consumed American culture around the Lord's Day. Another is to say that the thing that wrecks Sunday morning is Americans' Saturday nights. So what do we do on Saturday nights? That's the night for partying. That's the night for staying out late. It's the night for going to dances, out to dinners, having friends over, movie nights, whatever. But what happens when you stay up super late on Saturday night? It makes it harder to really intentionally honor the Lord with the whole day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so we see people sliding out of bed at 10:45 for that 11 o'clock mass, you know, just making it. And then, you know, the rest of the day, as long as they fulfill that minimal obligation, is theirs to do with whatever they want.
And it tends to be stuff I need to do to get ready to go to work.
Right, which is completely the opposite of leisure, right? Leisure isn't simply recreation. It's not simply getting oneself restored in the sense of being ready to do more work. It's not something I do for an end. Leisure is something that's worth doing for its own sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned in my introduction to this an article I read long ago called The Good for Nothing Sabbath. It's not for something. It's for itself. Now, how does your family of 10 go about celebrating the Lord's Day? And I understand from Faustina that at least some Sundays waffles are involved, but beyond waffles.
Yeah, so, obviously we're on a spectrum here, and we're all on a journey of trying to figure out how to live the Lord's Day as well as possible. And so by no means are we doing this perfect. But a number of things that we've come to and developed would be trying to make sure we see the Lord's Day as something we prepare for intentionally on Saturday. We prepare for it intentionally the day before, so that we can live the Lord's Day the way we want to, for God's sake, on Sunday. So that means, for example, we have an official end to all the work that we're doing. We really work hard on Saturdays. We don't take that as just a day of relaxation because we have Sunday to get done whatever we need. No. Saturday is the day to get done what you need, so that you can sort of give yourself the gift of the Lord's Day, or allow yourself to receive the gift of the Lord's Day that Jesus wants you to. So, again, we prepare by making sure the work is done, making sure our Sunday clothes are all set up and set out, that we aren't going to have anything on Sunday that we're going to need to do. if we play our cards right, we get the readings read on Saturday night and kind of meditate on them as a family, so that we're set up for the next day. Then you get Sunday morning. And depending on what mass you go to, things will look different, right? If you can get yourself to an early mass, then you can really think about honoring that fast, that Eucharistic fast, in a better way. But if you get up and you decide you're going to a little bit of a later mass, well, then you can do some kind of beautiful pancake breakfast for your kiddos. You can run through the readings again. You can prepare them for what kind of things are going to happen liturgically at mass. And then you sort of work your way toward the mass as sort of the high point of your day. And that's what we do. And then after mass, you try to give that day intentionally God in some way. Either it's through works of mercy, it's through extra prayer, right? We like to do a walking rosary together as a family. Or it's through just doing things that are worthless, doing things that are pointless, right? Maybe you go for a walk. Maybe you play some soccer with your kids. Maybe you read more stories out loud before nap time than you would have during the week. And then, of course, in the evening, after a nice meal, maybe you spend it with your family. We like to get together with our in-laws, and my mother-in-law kindly makes dinner for us so many Sundays. It's a beautiful gift she gives us. It really allows us to be more leisurely that day. You spend more time in prayer as a family than you normally do. Then you go back to your day, back to your week. You're ready and restored, having received that gift of leisure. Also, I think it's important to do spiritual reading throughout the day. We encourage our kids to do that, and we do that as well, especially on Sundays as well.
Would you recommend any books or resources?
Yeah, there's a number of great books out there. I think the most approachable and shortest is a excerpt from Maria von Trapp's book, A Year with the von Trapp Family, and it's a chapter that she calls A Land Without Sundays. And that chapter is really quite moving and inspiring. It talks about her family's experience going throughout the world and seeing how Sunday, the Lord's Day, is honored or not honored in various cultures, and how her own family and culture seeks to recover the Lord's Day.
In his 1998 apostolic letter, Dies Domini, Pope St. John Paul II wrote, "Sunday is a day which is at the very heart of the Christian life. From the beginning of my pontificate, I have not ceased to repeat, do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ." In the same way, today, I would strongly urge everyone to rediscover Sunday. Do not be afraid to give your time to Christ. Yes, let us open our time to Christ, that he may cast light upon it and give it direction. He is the one who knows the secret of time and the secret of eternity. He gives us his day as an ever new gift of his love. The rediscovery of this day is a grace which we must implore, not only so that we may live the demands of faith to the full, but also so that we may respond concretely to the deepest human yearnings. Time given to Christ is never time lost, but is rather time gained, so that our relationships and indeed our whole life may become more profoundly human. Close quote. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.